Okay, so the story is like this. This, you know, the Torah teaches us lessons about everything. Everything that we have to know, everything that there is to be known, and all of the true wisdom and proper and effective approaches to everything in life we find in our Torah. That's what we have. We have this manual for good living given to us by none other than the one who created us, who therefore knows what our purpose is and how to best fulfill that purpose. And in this parsha, he teaches us about marriage, shiduchim, how to find your, what we say in Yiddish, your basherta, the one that is destined to you. There's the Gemara says that a baskel goes out 40 days before a child is born and announces. Problem is that we don't hear that directly, that the so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, is the appropriate match for so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so. Ploni ben Ploni, le Ploni spas Ploni. And that's the match made in heaven, so to speak. The trick is to figure out who she is. It was declared, it was decreed, it was announced, but nobody that we knew heard it. We have to figure it out. And in this parsha, Eliezer is charged with figuring it out for his master and his teacher and his Rebbe's son, Yitzchok. And he was to go to a specific place far away from where they lived and was to search for an appropriate mate, an appropriate wife for Yitzchok. Now, it's interesting how he went about the process. He came, he brought with him a lot of gifts to share with that family who will be the one. He was very focused on making sure that he gets the right one. Avraham Avinu was so focused on making sure that Eliezer gets the right one that Avraham Avinu made him swear. And that shvua was that he does appropriately, exactly according to these directives. And the Sipurnu tells us that Avraham Avinu was concerned for the outside possibility that some rich guy might pay him off to take his daughter for Yitzchok instead of the appropriate one that he was supposed to take from the appropriate place with the appropriate signs and everything. And therefore he made him even swear that he's going to do that. So important it was to get the right one. Eliezer was very trusted to Avraham Avinu. But yet, to make extra sure that nobody should even tempt him with a little bit of a bribe that might influence him, and his opponent really says not to take the wrong one, but just not to work as hard, made sure he had to swear as well. He's on his way, and he's looking for the basherta. He's looking for that one that was designated to be the wife of Yitzchak. And he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, and he had access to means that we don't have access today exactly. We have to find substitutes for that, which we'll talk about in a moment. And he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm looking for this right girl. Please help me. And he made a sign. They were capable of such a thing. He said, the one that says she will give me to drink. She sees that they're traveling in a desert and traveling for a long time and they need something to drink. V'gam gemalecho ashke. And I will also give your camels to drink. This is the sign that she is worthy of being the wife of Yitzchok. So he made a sign with Hashem to be able to identify the right woman. Now two things. Number one, look at the sign that he chose. What was the sign of all signs to indicate that she was worthy? Chesed. She not only gave him, but gam gemalecho, she also took care of the animals. She was sensitive enough, she was caring enough, she was a balas chesed enough, kind enough to be concerned about that. And you can imagine the picture. Some say that she was a three-year-old girl. 3 years in those days, they were very mature. But she was, whatever it is, she was a young girl, a young woman, and she's schlepping all this water for all these big camels all by herself. She was a balas chesed. And Rashi and the Rebbi Mizrachi explained that this was a sign on all the other midos that she needed to be worthy to enter Avraham Avinu's family, because if she has such a deep-rooted midas hachesed, then it's a siman that everything else is based upon a connection to Hashem, upon emulating Hashem, and she could be the one who's worthy. Now, but something else we see over here. We want a sign from Hashem that this is the right one. A choice that's made without some type of an indication is patlok. Maybe yeah, maybe no. When it is the one that was designated from Hashem, that's something else. How do we find out the designation? Let's continue the story. After that, something very interesting happens. He's going to go and ask, he meets Lavan and Rivka, he's going to ask if Suel, but Lavan sort of took over the negotiations there. He's going to ask if she's ready to leave Padan Aram, and she's ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, to where Yitzchok is living. And if she says no, what was he told? Avraham Avinu told him that if she refuses to come back, you're not allowed to take Yitzchok down to her. Rakis b'ni al toshev shoma. My son, you cannot return there. She will return to him. Otherwise, no shidduch. Now that's very interesting. Why could Yitzchok not leave Eretz Yisrael? And the Meforshim explain, he was really allowed, because there are three things that you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for. To learn Torah, to make a parnosa, and to marry a wife. For a shidduch, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So why couldn't he leave? Yitzchok was brought on the Akedah. Yitzchok was an Eilo Tmimo. Yitzchok reached such a level of purity that for him, it wasn't appropriate. It was a Lifnim Mishuras HaDin. It wasn't a Din. A Lifnim Mishuras HaDin, but it wasn't proper. Now look at that. Eliezer had a sign from Hashem. She said, Gam Gmalecha Ashke, I will give your camels to drink. So he knew that this is the right one designated from Hashem. Yet, if she refused, no shidduch. What? And what's the, why couldn't Yitzchok come? Not because he wasn't allowed. Only a chumra, a lifni mishur asadin. We see a very interesting thing. There may be a sign that this is the right person. That may be true. And the signs we'll talk about in a moment. But even with a sign from Hashem, a direct one, where he responds exactly to what I asked him, not the kind of signs that we have today, which are not as clear, even then, if I have to compromise my spiritual values, my spiritual propriety, what's proper for me on a spiritual level, no shidduch. What do you mean? This is a sign from Hashem. No. Even when there's a sign, it's all built upon the fact that I'm going to do that which is appropriate. If even after it seems to be appointed by Hashem himself, but I have to compromise my religious values, that's not a shidduch. That is a bigger sign that this is not the shidduch for me. And that's the way he went, and he found, and he talked, and he discovered it was the right shidduch, and she agreed, and she came back, and the rest was, they lived happily ever after. Fine. What does this have to do with us? This has to do with us as follows. We too need a sign. And the sign is, we have a mesorah, we have a tradition, that there are ways to know. There are ways to know if this is the right girl. Now, remember, we don't want to marry the wrong person. And I would say anybody who's thinking of getting married right now is probably looking at the wrong person. Even if it's not the wrong person, it's the wrong time. So let's consider this just an academic, theoretical discussion, which it is. But the first sign is, I call it the computer printout. What does it look like on paper? Does this person seem right for me? Are we of the same beliefs? Are we of the same direction in life? Do we have similar background or similar values or similar goals that we could feel that, you know, it seems on paper that it's going to work? That's the first step. When it doesn't seem to be the necessary ingredients
that I need. Those ingredients are many, but we have some sense of what they are. As we get older and get more ready, we get a more fine-tuned sense of what it is. It's just not for me. And it doesn't matter that I saw this person, I think this person is beautiful, and I would imagine and dream and pretend that this is going to be the one for me. If it doesn't have that paperwork that makes sense on paper, that computer printout that says, hey, it looks compatible, then it makes no difference what it seems like, it makes no difference who you met, it makes no difference what you're thinking. All that is irrelevant. All that could do is mislead us in the wrong direction. And worse than that, if we meet someone first and then check out the resume, there's a big problem. You know what the problem is? It's called blindness. We tend to be blinded by certain factors. A person's looks or beauty could blind us. And then we read the resume differently. Oh, yes. The picture, that beautiful picture, was hanging in the post office for many years because she has a criminal record. Oh, but what a beautiful picture was hanging in the post office.
She's wanted for... she's wanted. Look, I want her too. And so forth. Now, I'm exaggerating, obviously. But we get blinded by preconceived ideas. And therefore, the way that this system has to work is, first the resume, just on paper. I never saw this person. I never met this person. Let me see if it even has shaykhah, so I can read the resume with an open mind, not blinded. Next, people meet. They go out. They spend a little time together. And they see that, you know, that they can enjoy each other's company. There's a certain chemistry that exists between them. Okay? That's the next step. But that's still not the sign. Because you can enjoy many people's company whose resumes you'd be compatible with, and yet, but then the relationship seems to develop. There's something that draws them together. This is not to be discussed in depth now, but there's something that's just drawing them together. There's just this wanting, this desire, this looking forward to, this wishing it wouldn't end, this a certain... Now, that in itself, not with a resume and not with the chemistry and not at the appropriate time and place, is meaningless. In fact, it's a formula for disaster, because what that does is it blinds me so that I see things and I don't see clearly anymore because I have this preconceived notion. So it's very important it goes in the steps. First, I see if it makes any sense. Then I see if there's at least a little bit of communication, ability to just casually enjoy each other's company as I would anyone, as I would a friend. And then it starts to get a little bit. And at some point, the person comes to the realization, and they date for a number of times. Shouldn't be over too long a period of time, because after that, it starts to sour, even though it's something that had real potential, and you lose the... That sense of indication. And when that relationship seems to develop to the point where people feel drawn to each other and they want to be together and they want to connect and they can see themselves being married, they want to marry this person, at that point we have, when all those factors kick in, a sign from Hashem that this is the right one. Now, I usually... I would just like to say one thing. I can't say it the way I usually say it, but I'll just say like this. You don't have to see stars. Unfortunately, any of you people ever hear of Hollywood? Yeah. Movies? Yeah. What? No, what is right. Of course not. Anyway, Hollywood has done some devastating damage to our society, because they have pretended and shown us as if it was reality worlds and things and emotions and situations and romance that isn't real. And it's not what it's about. And it's not accurate. But yet, we assume that that's the way it should be. So basically what we're saying is, rather than having the Torah in Parshas Chayei Sora and Chazal in their directives teaching us how to find the Basherta, we would rather the multi-billionaires in Hollywood who are concerned with nothing more than enticing us to pay money for these movies, they're going to set our values, they're going to help us choose the right one, and we think we're going to be secure in that choice with their guidance and advice? I can't think of anything that's more absurd than that. So we have to be very careful. Very careful. You know, they'll have you seeing stars, and they'll have all kinds of things. That's not, it could be. For some people it works like that. Some people it doesn't work until later. That's like another dimension of it all. But I think the main lesson that we see from here, and I'd like to conclude with those lessons, is as follows. Number one, we want the right one. Number two, by the way, you know how old Yitzchak was at this time? This was after the Akedah when he was 137 years old. Now, I'm not suggesting that you wait till 137 before you begin dating. Not even to 37. But also not at 17. Sorry. Because then we get messed up. So the first lesson is that time and resume and knowing as much about the likelihood of these two people being compatible is a prerequisite to even getting together. Because when I get together first, I can't see clearly after that. And we don't want that. And then people meet and then they develop a relationship. Now, if they're looking for a sign, Eliezer's sign, of course, was from Hashem, that he said, the one who'll say, Gam Gubalecha Ashke, but the concept of the sign is the same. Chesed. Chesed is critical. A person who's kind. A person who's giving. A person who's sensitive. A person whose midos are in fine-tuned order. Such a person is, that's the most critical ingredient for a marriage to succeed. Because if people don't have chesed, and they're not comfortable and capable of giving constantly, they can't really have a relationship. A relationship is not about taking. A relationship is about giving. And by the way, you got to give on both sides. It's not just the relationship about is our giving me. The relationship about is each one giving each other. So the midas hachesed is critical. But another very important point to keep in mind. If we want to discover that basherta, that one about whom it was said, Pliny ben Pliny, le Plinis mas Pliny, 40 days before they were even conceived, or before they were born, not sure which, not clear. If we want that one, then we have to know that even if the signs look good, all the signs, the timing, the resume, the developing of a relationship, that draw that's pulling us together, but if I have to compromise my religious principles in any way, Yitzchak couldn't compromise el ifnim mishuras hadin. If I have to compromise my religious principles, that overrides even what seems to be a sign. That overrode even what was a sign. Because it can't be. Then obviously the sign is not a sign. Maybe the sign was meant as a test. Because I can't, for anyone, for anything, for any situation, override my religious principles, and if I do so, I am assuring that I have compromised the system which is to grant me the sign to know who is the proper one. That's basically the message. I think that to just explain a little bit the reason for the message at this time. Reason number one is because this is the parasha that we're reading this Shabbos. That's always a reason, because that's where we think, and that's, but it's also where we find relevant messages. And I believe that there's a lot of misunderstanding, even in our world, about how this process should go. And I think that that misunderstanding often leads a person into very compromising and very difficult and problematic situations, which later on we tend to regret. And therefore, I thought it was important to at least have this general hashkofa, something to think about,
I certainly hope and pray that no one is going to take this discussion lemaisa and go and get married over the weekend.